This is HMM correspondent Sophia Cahalan, and I am returning with my third and final part of the interview I had with Dara Silberman. Are you worried that if you pursue certain marketing strategies, that the ideals of local farming will fall by the wayside, potentially similar to the institutionalization of the organic food and farming movement, which had grassroots-like origins, but was then overtaken by industry?
Well, I think that it's important to look at, I try not to get too caught up in labels. I think right now people are really obsessed with this label of organic. And as someone that has worked on all different sizes of organic farms, I know that the label doesn't necessarily mean that much anymore. First and foremost, I think it's important to remember that organic farming does not mean that there is a respect for human labor. And that's first and foremost how I think that we have to begin reimagining the farm system, is that first we value the people that are doing the work. And then once that's established, it's much easier to come up with common sense principles. Like, if you're valuing human labor, then you're not putting things on plants that people shouldn't be consuming because you don't want to expose your workers to them. And you're not wasting as much food because now it's more expensive for you to produce it because you're paying these people a living wage. You're paying them time off. You're paying them overtime. And so all of those things combined would serve to just radically change the food that ends up on a consumer's plate. So that would be my first thing on like changing this large institution of farming. For what we're doing, the work that I'm doing, I hope makes it possible for more people to be autonomous in their workspace. And by that, I mean, you make the decisions over what happens on the land that you're responsible for. You get to decide what you grow. You get to decide how it's grown, who has access, that kind of thing. So I would like to see, for what I'm doing, I like the scale that the garden I have is for that space. I would like to find several other lots in different neighborhoods to do a similar project, just to just set up a functional garden. And then I would like to see pay what you can markets on all of those lots. Ideally, all of the people who own those lots could collaborate and get a larger space all together somewhere that is cooperatively managed and that feeds all of these kind of mini gardens around the city with a large amount of produce that does, like, when we're at a certain scale, it does make sense now to have packing facilities. And so kind of use these neighborhood gardens as, you know, pay what you can market sites for people to have produce access, turn them more into community workshop spaces and group harvest spaces so that people have, you know, we do have Capital Roots with their community gardens, and those are great, but there's not a lot of guidance for people who don't really know what they're doing. And you know, so for people who are, who have no idea, who've never planted a seed before in their life, it's unlikely that they're going to pay for a garden space and then all of a sudden be able to grow a productive crop. So ideally these places can work as breeding grounds for people to get awareness of how to do this work, and then they can figure out how to do it for themselves.
So do you see community-supported agriculture as a possible alternative to, like, our current industrial farming practices, like maybe in the far future, of just kind of like, this could work? Or and you mentioned before, like, valuing workers as like a step forward for the industry side, but like, what else do you think might need to happen for that to work?
So I think food is a really interesting place to be. I think as people try to think about building worker power, like, what do we need to kind of get beyond an industrial production system? Because as opposed to a lot of other things that people might buy, like on Amazon from the big, huge factories and stuff, they don't need a lot of that stuff, but you have to keep eating food. And every single person, if you're poor, if you're rich, y'all eat food. And everybody has food dollars that they spend, whether they're government issued, whether they're, you know, issued by a charity, just in terms of, like, you get direct gifts of food. or whether you spend dollars that you make at your job. So I think it's a, first of all, it's a really amazing place to bring people together. And this is something that I don't think happens at a lot of farms or CSAs. I think a lot of CSAs, I mean, I don't make a ton of money farming, obviously. I've never been high enough income to afford some of the CSAs that exist, even the ones that are considered affordable. I think anytime something is called affordable, that basically means that it is going to be very expensive for someone who is low income, which I kind of find offensive. And I think that we need to figure out how farming brings people in, because we're all consumers of food. And once we have a group of people who's more diverse, especially in terms of income, we can start making better choices en masse that bring more and more people onto the bandwagon of, like, you don't have to buy your vegetables from the frozen food department at the Price Chopper. Like, it's actually not any cheaper. I mean, I go into the supermarket and I'm like, wow, you know, charging the same thing I would charge for produce. Like, this isn't, like, I think people have this idea that, oh, the farmer's market is so much more expensive. And for certain items, it definitely is. But on the whole, I'd say it's the same, especially when it comes to vegetables. Fruits are out of control more expensive on the organic scene. And that's due to a variety of factors. But
I imagine it's nice to, or like the one of the pluses is that you kind of subscribe to the farm, and that way you like pay that amount, and then that's really all you pay right at the beginning, and then you just can kind of go back and get your produce when you need it.
So for me, the reason why it makes more sense to just have people come and get what they want is then I don't actually have to harvest something that doesn't end up getting eaten on that given week. I can just make a list of, like, hey, here's what's available, and people can say, cool, I want radishes and arugula and lettuce, and I can be like, great, I'm gonna go cut you these things. So that's something that happens. I mean, even on these like CSA organic farms, I mean, the amount of food that never makes it to an end consumer is staggering, actually. Like, it starts from the food that we pick in the field that we decide is inedible or not sellable. Yeah. As
oh, it doesn't, you know, look good.
Yeah, it's got like one root mite that like made a little trail on it, and you're like, there's 40 bunches of radishes that we just left in the field because we decided they weren't perfect enough, which is not, I don't operate like that on my garden. If it's edible, because like, if and it looks weird but it's edible, like, eat it, because it tastes exactly the same as the thing that didn't look weird. So that's one. Then second, you have all this stuff that gets packed that then sits on like market shelves that then just goes back to a farm, gets dumped in a pile. But on organic farms, you can't use compost that you make on the farm. There's like very, you can use it, but it has to rest for a full year, which means that you need to have an active pile where you're actively dumping stuff. You need to have the pile that sat for a year, and then you have to have the pile that you're actively working on that's fresh compost. So most organic farms are just like, we're not bothering with that. And so many just have these enormous piles of vegetables that didn't sell, that it's just rotting food, a pile of rotting vegetables, basically. And they can't use it on their farms unless they have this elaborate system. So that's one of the things that I think makes organic sense. Like, okay, so you have this rule. Does this rule make any sense for anybody? Yeah, so I mean, I think that one of the things that is nice about what I'm doing right now is that I don't have to worry if things are going to waste. Things aren't going to waste. And if I don't get the same, like, let's say I have a suggested price of $2 for radishes, and someone comes by and they buy a bunch for $2, and then someone gets one and they don't pay anything. It's fine, because and I'd probably have the same outcome as another farm, because so much stuff is going to waste in those other systems that they're still only getting a dollar per bunch of radishes. They just wasted half of them, and I just happened to give it away to someone for free.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see like what the numbers end up looking like. That I'm hoping that with a lot of transparency about here's how much food actually left the farm and went to people, and then just keeping good records on, and here's how much income I got, that I'll be able to crowdsource the gap in in food that I give away. And people give so much money to food pantries. So I look at this as less, it's less charity because I'm making my livelihood on it. So I have an incentive to keep it productive and keep it nice.
Unfortunately, that's all we have time for, but if anyone wants to reach out to Dara, you can find her on Facebook and Instagram at Second Street Farm. That's 2NDSTREETFARM.
All right. Well, thank you so much for this opportunity to talk about my work.
Thank you, Dara, and I hope we can keep up to date on what you're doing at your farm.